Hello and welcome to our online service for Sunday, December the 6th, the second Sunday of Advent. If you haven't met me before, my name is Matt. I'm a curate in the Ely team, and it's a great privilege to be leading us in our act of worship this morning. Whether you joined us online before or this is your first time with us, you're really welcome, and we're glad that you're here today. This morning we continue our journey through Advent, a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the coming of Christ at Christmas. And globally this year it does feel like we have been inhabiting the season of Advent for longer than normal as we continue to come to terms with the loss and the disruption caused by COVID-19. However, as I'm sure you've heard in the news this week, there are some signs of hope as vaccines begin to be approved and rolled out, even though a long road to recovery still lies ahead. So this morning, as we gather together, we cling on to this hope of a brighter future, but we also long expectantly for Jesus to draw near and to bring to each of us the comfort and joy that only he can provide. And to help us express this longing for Christ to be at work in our lives, we're going to use our opening liturgy now to begin our service. If you'd like to make these words your own, then do feel free to join in with the words in bold. So we remind ourselves that the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us. Faithful one whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue to reflect now on the theme of waiting and longing, we turn to our first hymn this morning, O Come, Emmanuel, which this week is led for us by the choir of St. Martin's in the Fields in London. This haunting and yet delicate Advent carol invites us to welcome Christ into our world, our hearts and our homes during this season. You may like to sing along to the song or simply be still and welcome Jesus to be with you this morning as you come to worship.
Thank you.
So Lord Jesus Emmanuel, we thank you for your presence with us today, and yet we long for you to enter deeper still into our hearts, our lives, our communities, and our hopes and our dreams today as we remember your coming at Christmas. Please help us this morning to encounter you and to know that you are with us and for us. Amen. Well, this morning in churches across the UK, Advent wreaths will be lit to help us visualise the passage of the 4 weeks of Advent in the run-up to Christmas Day. And today, as it's the second Sunday of Advent, we're going to light our second candle and have a moment to reflect, particularly on the peace that Christ offers to us all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, light of the world, the prophet said that you would bring peace and save your people in trouble. Give peace in our hearts this Christmastide and show all the world God's love. Amen. Next this morning, we have our Bible readings, which are going to be read to us by Dan. The readings for today are Isaiah chapter 9 verses 2 to 7 and Luke chapter 1 verses 39 to 55. That's Isaiah chapter 9 verses 2 to 7 and Luke chapter 1 verses 39 to 55. If you'd like to follow along in your own Bible or a Bible app, you might like to find these passages now. And today, as we continue our Comfort and Joy sermon series, we're going to be thinking about the themes of surrendering and cooperating with God. And Jeremy, one of our retired priests in the Ely team, is going to be helping us to think particularly about how these themes come to the surface through an encounter between Mary as she was pregnant with Jesus and her cousin Elizabeth. So over to Dan for our readings and then straight over to Jeremy for our sermon.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is the name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
It's now 2.5 years since I retired and Ruth and I moved to Ely. And almost as soon as we moved here, there started a steady stream of visitors from the place where we used to live, a stream that carried on until this March when lockdown happened. But whenever visitors came, we'd take them for a walk around Ely. We'd inevitably end up in the cathedral. And once in the cathedral, and before they went into the Lady Chapel, I'd say, "Now, when you go in there, I want you to tell me, what do you think of Mary?" Because that statue of Mary in the Lady Chapel is a bit of a Marmite thing, isn't it? Some people love it, some people hate it. Now, round the base of Mary's statue, it says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Or, as most modern translations of the Bible put it, "I'm the Lord's servant." That's what Mary said when the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to be the one who would be the mother of God's Son. So the statue's an attempt to depict Mary's response to this quite extraordinary call. And I think that overall, I do quite like it. It seems to me that Mary's rejoicing at the huge privilege of being called to serve God in this way, expressed in her hands raised to heaven. But it also seems to me to be depicting her humility before God. She hasn't done anything to deserve to be chosen for this task. And this humility is expressed in her slightly bowed head. Those twin responses of rejoicing and humility are expressed in Mary's song, the song often called the Magnificat. We heard it in our reading just now. "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Rejoicing and humility when called to serve God. Luke, in his Gospel, tells us about the angel delivering God's call and Mary accepting it. And he tells us about Mary's song in response to God. But in between, he tells us about Mary going to visit Elizabeth. And alongside this huge thing that God was calling Mary to do, we can see what I think are smaller, simpler ways in which he was going to use Elizabeth. Through her, he was going to help Mary. And it's on that I want to focus today, because it gives us some pointers as to how God might call us and use us. Before the angel left Mary, he said to her, "Your relative Elizabeth, who's never been able to have children, and now she's too old, well, she's 6 months pregnant." And so we start to see how God was going to involve Elizabeth in Mary's story. And I want to pick out three things that Mary received through Elizabeth. And the first of those is companionship. Elizabeth's pregnancy meant that Mary wasn't going to feel alone. There'd be someone who understood. Mary and Elizabeth were both in the same situation. They were both miraculously pregnant. Mary with Jesus, Elizabeth with John the Baptist. Both of them must have felt honoured to be given by God the special role of bearing a baby who'd have a key part to play in God's plans for the salvation of the world. But at the same time, they must have felt more than a bit bewildered by it all. So God gave them each other to be companions as they went through this together. They could support each other. The companionship of fellow Christians is a gift that God gives us. Our being a friend is a way that God often uses us. Now, sometimes that means companionship or friendship in quite a general way. Just being together as Christians is a good and enriching thing. It's a means by which God blesses us. It's something which, of course, has been very difficult in recent months when meeting together has been so restricted. But it's been great, too, the way people have done whatever they can to maintain that companionship. Through phone calls or chats on Zoom or walking together or praying together outdoors or through online home group meetings. So sometimes companionship in a general way, but sometimes, as with Mary and Elizabeth, the friendship and support of someone who's going through or who's been through the particular thing that we're going through. For example, the person who's just been bereaved, or parents struggling with adolescent children, or people made redundant, or people who are struggling living with lockdown. All of them can be helped enormously by someone who's been through or who's going through that same experience themselves. And whether it's specific support like that, or whether it's friendship in more general terms, this companionship is a gift of God which we should be looking to enjoy to the full. The friendship, the help which we can both give and receive. Now, of course, the last thing we want is to become a holy huddle who only ever talk to other Christians. We want to be missionary people. But equally, we mustn't underestimate the importance of enjoying the companionship of our fellow Christians. And of course, it isn't restricted to Christians. Sometimes it can be through the friendship of someone who isn't a Christian that God helps us. And often, our friendship or our support for a not yet Christian friend is a vital part of God's plan. He uses us to be the channels through which his love flows to them. So companionship, one way in which God used Elizabeth, and one way in which God can use us all. And then secondly, something that Mary received from Elizabeth was guidance. So here was Mary, she'd just been given this extraordinary message by the angel, and as she sat and thought about it, her first reaction must surely have been, did that really happen? Did the angel really speak to me? Or did I just imagine it? Mary needed something to help her to be certain that she really was going to be the mother of God's son. But she had been given something. She'd been told about Elizabeth. So off she went to see Elizabeth. Was it true? Was old Elizabeth really expecting a baby? Yes, when Mary got there, sure enough, everything was just as she'd been told. Elizabeth was going to have a baby in 3 months' time. It was just as the angel had said. Mary hadn't imagined it. God really had spoken to her. And so God used Elizabeth as a way of guiding Mary, of confirming to her what he'd called her to do. And here's another way in which God can use us all. Some years ago, I had an ordained colleague, Dick, and we used to meet in church every day at 8:15 for morning prayer. At morning prayer, we always made use of our parish's prayer diary, which, amongst other things, included the other local churches with whom we were involved. One morning, we prayed for the local Baptist church and its minister, Eddie. And afterwards, Dick said to me, "I should think Eddie must be thinking of moving." Later that same morning, we met with the other local ministers, as we usually did about every 6 weeks or so. Eddie, the Baptist minister, was there, and he told us that he was planning to tell his congregation that he was going to move on in 9 months' time. "Oh," said Dick, "that's just what I said to Jeremy this morning. I thought it was about time you thought of moving on." And for Eddie, hearing that was most important. It was part of God confirming for him that, yes, this was his will. He had made the right decision. In a small way, Dick and I were used by God as part of his guidance to Eddie. God can use us all in this way. It may be something very small that we say or we do, and we may be unaware of its significance. But it can be an important way in which God speaks to someone or guides them in the way he wants them to go. So companionship, guidance, and then a third thing that Mary received from Elizabeth, encouragement. As Mary set off to see Elizabeth, presumably she was planning to tell her what the angel had said, and presumably she was wondering how Elizabeth would react to the news that she, Mary, was pregnant, although unmarried. But Mary needn't have worried. It turned out that she didn't need to say anything. Elizabeth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recognized what had happened and burst out as soon as she saw Mary, "How wonderful that you're going to be the Lord's mother. How brilliant that you've come to visit me. How marvelous that you're obeying God's call." And Elizabeth's words must have been such an encouragement to Mary. If she'd had worries about how Elizabeth would react, if she'd had feelings of, "Oh dear, what's God let me in for?" Those feelings were now completely transformed by all the positive things that Elizabeth said. Any doubts that she'd had were now transformed into praise to God. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies God." Now, of course, Elizabeth couldn't have known about the angel and what he'd said. Her knowledge, her recognition of Mary as the Lord's mother, that must have been God-given. So those words with which she encouraged Mary, we can rightly describe as inspired or prophetic. Now, we won't very often claim any such thing for anything that we say. But nevertheless, things we say to encourage someone can be used quite powerfully by God. And we can find that God's used us to say just the right thing to just the right person at just the right time. This ministry of encouragement is so important in the life of a Christian. Over the years, I've often been helped enormously by words of encouragement. Not some great speech, but just a few simple words, when people have helped me to know that I've been going at least in approximately the right direction. And we all have opportunities to do this. If we see or hear someone doing something which is good, then we can tell them. Some teachers are great at this. A little word of praise at the right time can make a child feel 10 feet tall. And we can do the same, not being in any way patronizing, but speaking honestly, just the briefest word of appreciation and thanks for what we see other people doing. It can be such an encouragement. It's great when people do it. So, companionship, guidance, encouragement. If you ever feel, "Here I am, ready to serve God, I just wish he'd use me," the truth is that even if you didn't realize it, he probably has used you and is using you in the sort of way that he used Elizabeth. Mary received companionship, guidance, and encouragement. But would we say that it was God who helped her, or Elizabeth who helped her? The best way to put it would probably be that God helped her through Elizabeth. Most of the help that God gives us, he gives us through other people. And just as he gives help through others to us, he also gives help through us to others. God truly can use all of us. And it is, of course, a great privilege to be used by God, a real thrill to think God chose me to be the way he helped so-and-so. So let me add one final thing. Don't let people who help you miss out on that thrill. Tell them that God's used them. As examples, let's take those three things that were done for Mary by Elizabeth. If someone helps you by their companionship, their friendship, and their support, tell them. Or when God guides you or speaks to you through something they say or do, tell them. Or when they encourage them, tell them, thank them. Tell them you've been helped through what they've done. It'll be a great encouragement to them to know that God's used them. God's call to Mary, the way in which he wanted to use her, was a huge thing. The way he calls us and uses us will, as a general rule, feel much smaller, much less significant, more like the way he used Elizabeth. But we don't have to assess how big or small a thing God's calling us to, whatever it is. The challenge is simply to respond as Mary did. I am the Lord's servant. And like Mary, we can respond with humility and rejoicing. Who am I that God should choose me to do his work? But I rejoice that he's done so. And like Mary, I magnify, I glorify the Lord.
Thank you, Jeremy, for your word for us today. As we continue to reflect on Jeremy's message to us now, we're going to have the chance to invite Jesus to draw near to us and to fill us with the same hope and expectation that both Mary and Elizabeth experienced in our gospel passage today. As we listen to our next worship song, sung for us by Victoria, one of our worship leaders at St. Mary's, you may want to use this opportunity to invite Christ to draw near and to minister new life and make you whole today.
Spirit of the Lord, come down among us now, minister new life to bones grown dry. Something in our heart cries out to be made whole. Let us
that you would minister to each of us today your touch of healing love. We pray that you would help us to know you and to know that you are calling us to enjoy life in all of its fullness as we surrender our lives to you. Amen. Well, we continue our service now with a time of confession, when we have the chance to confess to God those moments when we haven't invited him fully into our lives, and also those moments when we've deliberately shut him out of our decisions, our thoughts, and our actions. If you'd like to make a prayer of confession to God and receive his forgiveness and a fresh start today, then please feel free to join in with the words in bold. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. And together we pray. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together we now affirm our faith using the words of Philippians 2, which reminds us of Christ's willingness to dwell among us. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And as we continue to reflect on the theme of Christ drawing near to us this morning, I'm going to hand over to Becky now as she leads us in our prayers of intercession.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we bring before you those people known to us who are struggling at this time as a result of poor physical health, declining mental health, difficult home, school or work situations, or bereavement. Place your healing hand upon them. Give them your courage, hope, and joy. As we approach Christmas, we lift up those students who are returning home from university. May their journeys be straightforward, and may nothing prevent them from spending time with their loved ones. Remove any anxiety that may exist surrounding the temporary mixing of households, and allow the time spent together to be precious and peaceful. Lord, at this time when most people are making plans for the Christmas period, help us not to forget those within our community who are lonely and may not have anyone to spend Christmas with. Help us to be hospitable and generous, showing your love to those around us. In this time of Advent, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, help us to draw near to you, Lord, to know you more deeply as our Lord and Saviour and Light of the World. Amen.
Thank you so much, Becky, for leading us in prayer today. And we gather all of our prayers this morning together in the Lord's Prayer, so please do feel free to join in and pray this prayer at home too. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one final worship song, which today is In Christ Alone. This is a song which encourages us to look to Christ alone as our source of hope, and to remain confident that he is with us and will be for us for the whole of eternity.
Thank you.
slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. For life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. The power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
So Lord Jesus, we do place our lives into your hands again today, and we ask that you'd help us to build them on you and the hope that you offer us. Help us to trust you, to listen to your call, and to follow you wherever that may lead. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning for our online service. Just before I pray a final prayer of blessing over us today, a few quick notices to share with you. And first of all, if you haven't already, I'd really encourage you to check out the Christmas 2020 services page on the St Mary's Church website to find out all that's happening over the next few weeks. To get there, simply head to www.stmarysely.org/advent. And I don't have time to talk about everything that's happening today in our online service, but you might want to join in, for example, with our Advent Trail around Ely, which is great fun for all the family. And there are also details of our carol service on Sunday, December the 13th, which this year is taking place online, and our crib service, which is also taking place online on Christmas Eve. And you can also find links to book for our Christmas refresh service on December the 15th and our free services on Christmas Day. It's well worth taking a few minutes after the end of this service to note down all of the dates and details in your diary so you don't end up missing out. And of course, there are other COVID-safe events and services taking place across our team churches. So to find out more, please do see the notice board at your local team church. And if you need any further details, then please contact your local church wardens. Secondly, as ever, a very big thank you to all of you who supported the churches in the Ely team financially over the course of 2020. It's not been the easiest of years, and our ministry is entirely dependent on your generosity. If you would like to find out more about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely team in the future, then please do contact the church office at St Mary's by emailing office@stmarysely.org or calling 01353 659 550 and leaving a voice message. And then a member of the team will be able to get back in touch with you and to let you know further details about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely team. And finally, please also feel free to contact the church office if you have any pastoral or physical needs over the next few weeks. We realise that we're now out of lockdown, but many people may still be needing a helping hand with shopping or would like a chat or somebody to pray with. And if this applies to you, then please do again email us or call us and we will try our very best to link you up with somebody who can help. But for now, as we draw towards the end of our service, a prayer of blessing over all of us watching and gathering in homes and churches today to seek Christ. May God the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to come among us in great humility, open your eyes to look for his coming again. Amen. May God the Son give you grace to live in the light of his coming as Redeemer and Judge. Amen. And may God, the Holy Spirit, free you from sin, make you holy, and bring you to eternal life. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.